Okay, I have a hard time with a lot of the words in this next chapter. I'm going to have to ask for your assistance, please. Let's begin on page Kuf Lamed Zayin. Avnei, are you ready to help me over here?
Yeah, I should have brought my Yiddish.
Kuf Lamed Zayin. Okay, he talks about a lot of different issues of technology. We're up to Dalit. Uveinyan imutar le sader b'shabas v'yom tavim nu'umim mitachas hasidur shel haradio. Okay, so I think he's talking about, are you allowed to change the channel? Is that what he means? Le sader means the broadcast. Le shader b'shabasos. Okay. And nu'umim means a program. What does I say?
No, he wants any.
Speeches.
That's on radio. TV is called the Shabbos,
and the broadcasting on Shabbos.
You do
logic. Shader b'Shabbos yom tovim nu'umim a speech. What's the next word? Mitachenes.
What?
What's the next word? Mitachenes hasid.
Mitachanat
hasid. The station of the broadcast.
The broadcast station.
Are you allowed to broadcast a speech on the radio on Shabbos Shel HaRadio?
Listen to a program.
Including the speech before Shabbos. Let's agree
on the radio station.
Broadcast on Shabbos.
Okay. Are you allowed to prepare a speech that will be broadcast? That will be broadcast on the radio. Let's see. Ayin la'el shevesi misefer shulchan melacha mamash memenu k'tsa she'ein kan iser im hudav dvar mitzvah hamuter b'shabes lo b'dvar mitzcha. According to this interpretation, it's mutter to go into speak. He seems to be saying that you're going to be speaking into the microphone on Shabbos, it's going to be broadcast. To say dvar Torah, as long as it's not, that's what he seems to be saying. No, he's saying l'sader, l'shader, to broadcast. So it means he's speaking to the microphone, he seems to be saying. Okay. It seems like he's speaking, he holds that this type, this opinion, he holds there is no, okay, it's a very big chiddush. He says that it seems that according to Sechel Molochim, it's Masha Menu Shekzas She'ein Kaniser. Provide that it's not a matter of chol, it's not uvduchol, you're not broadcasting on the stock market, you're not giving advice on the market. She'ein Kaniser im Hudav. It's not a matter of business. Besides, nudes miyatre hakol shel adam. Besides the fact that the tenudas, the vibrations of the
vocal cords,
turn in nepachim al yidei microphone le tenudos shel galei chashmal, they turn into electrical signals. Hoyveres me a microphone le galei haradio, which go from the microphone into the radio. Hayotze me hamishader, which go forth from the broadcasting station. Vinisoim al yodam le merchakim, and it's carried, it's broadcast through way le merchakim in great distances. V'shamim chay. And then these electrical current, it turns back into the sound. Ein roye bezeh shum srach iser. There's nothing technically wrong by doing this. Elo sheyesh la'aser, technically in halacha, mitam lifnei iver, shegoyrem lacherim shemazinim, the people that are going to be listening, they're going to be turning on the radio on and off on Shabbos. V'shoyimim lipsichas haradio, shu osor, they're going, the people that are going to listen to the radio, they're going to open the radio on Shabbos. V'gam avim hakelita, migal legal, they're also going to change station to get to your broadcast, turning on the radio and changing stations is indeed problematic. If everything will be set up before Shabbos begins, everyone has their radio on, and the broadcasting station, the broadcasting center, they have their equipment on and going, so there's no one is turning on any new electrical currents on Shabbos. The only thing is, he's talking to the microphone. He's talking to the microphone. It's going to be broadcast. So that l'chayre he holds there is nothing wrong. But being that doing so will inevitably involve mechil Shabbos, because there are going to be people that are going to turn on the radio, they're going to turn it off, they're going to change stations, and there's going to be all these electrical things that are going to be done for the very first time on Shabbos. That's why it's aser. So that would mean it would be mutter. They have to leave the microphone on before davening. In fact, they had. That's what they did. That's what was very common years ago. That in certain types of communities where they were very lenient, they had the microphone on before Shabbos, or goy would turn on before Shabbos, and the cantor or the rabbi would get up to the podium, to the bima, and would do his thing. And in a chanami, it would be broadcast. And like we mentioned yesterday, there were many poskim that said that b'shas hatchak, it's technically mutter, and you don't have to lose your parnasa over using a microphone on Shabbos. Again, today it's not so common. What?
Many years ago, the Orthodox shuls in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Orthodox.
We're talking old Orthodox. Was the Shas, well, the fact that they were using it, they felt that it was a Shas Hadchak, because, I mean, they need the microphone. That's why, so he's coming and he's bringing Mavar, that these, technically it's Motu Begam, Evshur, he's singing the Bigel Chedesh, forget about the microphone, even a radio. Even if you're broadcasting over radio and everything is put into position before Shabbos, also he technically holds you're not doing anything wrong. From the Evshur, Sha'al Yidei Dibur, Shalodim, Mishtanis, Nekudas HaChem, Shalham, Hamin, Neiros. Another problem he holds, that Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says that even though technically it might be Motu, but it could be that you're causing, there is some electrical circuit. Al Yidei Dibur, Shalodim, Mishtanis, Nekudas, the heat of the temperature, there is things that are changing temperature. Okay, the old technology got very hot. It turns it. Yeah.
The control panel.
Right. That goes up. Okay, for all of me, he's saying those lights. They had such fancy lights in those days. The avshar sheyesh b'zeh iser Torah. Some of these things, they're obviously, they're, when you're in a broadcasting station, obviously they have a lot of high tech things which can involve direct chil Shabbos. Ulechein kol zman she'ein anu yodin bebiru es toiv ha-mishader ve'oifen shekilulo, and we don't know how perfect it is as far as halach is concerned. Yesh lochush li'isurei Torah at kan diburai. Okay, now he talks about ear hearing aids, if I'm not mistaken. Uve'inyin mechunas hashmiyah. People who have a loss of hearing, they use hearing aids. So are you allowed to wear a hearing aid on Shabbos? So of course, electrical, of course, it's acceptable. Even we throw, of course, we know that it's mutter. Everyone, we all know that this is something which is clearly mutter. And he talks about the definition. He also carrying. Why is it not a shayla of carrying, wearing it? That he discusses as well. Sheyesh ba microphone. There is a teeny little microphone. Hakolit u'mekadev es kol hamadaber le'oznam, which brings close the sound that is been spoken in the room to the ear of the person. It's through a battery. That's what he calls chashmal. It's electric, and even means a battery, an electrical battery. So what is halacha? Shebesoicha kmo avonim shebe batterios, the avonim of the batteries. Okay, there's a button to turn it on and to turn it off. So what is the rule when it comes to a hearing aid? Ayin b'shut b'shtiluzil the yomtiv shel yesh lahater yomtiv you can be makel uve shabbos sarichin. Now why is it? Because yomtiv, it seems to be going with this old school thought. This is an old school idea, is that electricity is aish. Okay, this is an idea which today is not really accepted anymore, as far as I know, is that the electricity used to be considered also because electricity is a toilad of aish. On Yom Tov, aish is mutter. So therefore, using electrical devices which involve current, whether it's a battery current or whether it is mutter. But on Shabbos, when Eish is Aser, they have to be Machmer. Again, we don't accept that anymore. Halach l'mayis, anything that is electrical today that does not involve heat, we don't view to be Eish. We view to be nothing more than an Issa Medrabon of Machmer Bepatish or Boner, but not to be an Isser of Eish. But he says here from this Sefer, v'Shabbos Sarchiyin, imut l'ptoach v'liskar, if you're allowed to turn on and to open and close, I guess in today, I think the hearing aids are on continuously. The battery power, they're so high-tech, they didn't use very small amounts of power, so they're on continuously. But years ago, when they first came out, and he's describing, they used a considered amount of power, and if you leave on the hearing aid for a long period of time, it's going to ruin the battery, you can run out. out, so people wanted to be able to turn it on and to turn it off on Shabbos itself. So what is halach? Ve'agoyin of Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, Masli Michtaf, Uvesoicha Tshuva, Me'agoyin of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Shadaita Sham Lahatir Lefoskoi, B'Shabbos, B'Stam Mechoines, She'ein Nisadim HaBarzel Sheba. If you have nothing's getting hot. Shabbat Ayidei Psichas Hazerem V'Yimnimsu Ke'elu She'nisadim HaBarzel. If you have a certain type of device where the barzel gets hot, Oz Asur L'Poslei
B'Shabbos. Like a red light.
That means Nisadim red lights. That's more high tech. I don't think they have such sophisticated things then.
What computers have little fans?
That's today. That's what we're talking about over here. Hearing aid, nisadim. Okay, I'm not sure what he means over here. Nisadim habarzel. The barzel is which seemingly gets hot. So he seems to be saying
it gets red.
Gets red.
It has to change the color. Just getting warm doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, so what do you mean changing the color?
When metal
gets so hot, it turns red.
Yeah.
On a hearing aid, it got so hot.
It doesn't.
So he's talking about turning on.
Make it hot. How would you know?
So he's talking. Okay, so you have to know. So he's talking about b'stam. So he's talking about a general electrical device. Okay, b'stam mechoines. Stam, any electrical device. His rule of thumb is, if you turn on an electrical device, again, we're not dealing with any lights. There are no lights. There's no flashing smoke and mirrors. Just the electrical device. If the electrical device does not get hot, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says it's mutter. But if you have an electrical device where something gets burning hot, if this electrical device was on from before Shabbos, ein ba iser tiltul b'bnei she'ein nesar kol hamuchune b'tiltul b'bnei habarzel shaba. Just because one part of the machine is burning red does not automatically prevent you from moving the entire, does not make the entire object muksa. So that's why a fan, it's commonly accepted that if you have a fan, you're allowed to move a fan on. You have a fan that's operating, you're allowed to move it around. It's plugged into the wall, you can move from place to place. As long as you don't pull it out of the wall, it's going to move place to place. Why don't you go say that since inside the fan there's a part that gets very, very hot, and that part is the ash, so by moving it around, the entire fan should become tofel to that Eish, and it should be muksa. No, you don't say that. The whole thing is not tofel. There's no din muksa when it comes to a piece of barz that's burning hot. The only time there's muksa, only a flame. Because the flame, when you move a flame around, you're causing the flame to flicker, to go higher and to go lower. That's a havara and kibui. But something that is burning hot does not have any effect when you move from place to place. Now, so therefore, it comes to the maskana. What is the maskana? That a hearing aid is mutter. A hearing aid that has been turned on from before Shabbos is mutter. And even turning on a hearing aid, he says, even turning it on, if you're not causing it to get hot, he seems to say that it's mutter to do it even on Shabbos itself. What about wearing it in the street? Hearing it in the street, so was that a shayla of hoitzah nachnasa? Or mikoyach isro hoitzah? A glass eye. Are you allowed to wear a glass eye in the street? This glass eye can be removed. It's not permanently attached to the person's body. If he so wishes, he can remove it. You do not need to worry that maybe you'll take it out and you'll show someone. The reason why women, Mikra Adin, in time of Chazal, were not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos. A woman's not allowed to wear a ring on Shabbos in time of Chazal. You know why? Because she'll go out into the street and she'll see her neighbor and say, what a beautiful ring you got there. So, you want to see it? Take it off. Look how beautiful it is. And they start walking with it. What? Same thing. Or never take it off. And then the Rama says, but an Isha Chashuva, a woman, a dignified woman, she would not lower herself to take off her marriage band, her marriage ring, her earring, she wouldn't go take it off. And therefore, Isha Chashuva is allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos. Bizman Hazeh, all Noshim, Hanoshe Didon, Chashuva Isena. Noshe Didon, women today are all together Chashuvos, and therefore women will not take off their jewelry bizman as in public. It's beneath them to do such things, and that's why it is widely accepted that women are allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos. Once talking about this topic, I prepared this for today, later on, we'll talk about it now, is what about Yom Kippurim? Are women allowed to wear jewelry on Yom Kippur? So believe it or not, there used to be a minhag that women should not wear anything gold. It's such a custom. Ein katega nasa sanegar. It's not lahalach. It's not, this is something which, the reason why it's not lahalach is because ein katega nasa sanegar is only an object that achieves kapara. It's part of the process of kapara. For example, a kittel. There used to be a custom that they would decorate a kittel with gold and silver. So since the reason why you wear a kittel is that you should be tahar, you want to go be tahara lefnei kadosh baruch hu, it's in the category of tahara, then you say ein katega nasa nega, you should not wear gold, you should not wear gold on the kittel or silver on the kittel. But when it comes to jewelry, which has nothing to do with an inyan of kapara, there is no restriction whatsoever. On the other hand, others say, forget about the inyan of katega nasa nega, there's such a thing of humbling yourself. On the Yom HaDin, a person should have any gaiva, and since the Yom HaKippurim is a day when you have to humble yourself, so it's not an idea to put on your best jewelry when you go to shul on Shabbos. Okay, going further. Right, so over here, there's no problem when it comes to an eye. No one's going to take out their glass eye to show people, and therefore it is mutter shu davar shenim b'matzei. No one's going to take out, you're not going to take out the contacts, anything you're not going to take out is mutter. Okay, another thing, another interesting, okay, you're allowed to wear slippers. Another very interesting thing I prepared for later on is, are you allowed to wear slippers on Yom Kippur? Because slippers very easily, I'm not talking about new fasan, I'm talking about things which can easily slip off. Slippers can easily slip off, and you may be inclined to pick them up and carry them in the street. If you're wearing thick socks and you're close enough to shul and the slippers fall off, you may be inclined to remove your slippers and carry it in the Rishus Sarav. So there's a machlekes haparizkim. Some hold that it's not a good idea to wear slippers on Yom Kippur because you may come to carry the slippers. Other paparizkim say that Bizman Hazeh, no one walks around in the street with barefoot, with socks. So therefore, you do not need to worry. And you do not need to worry, and you're allowed lechatchil to wear slippers to shul if you so wish on Yom HaKippur. If you live next door to shul, you see people do all these strange things. You look around at people's footwear on Yom HaKippur, everyone's wearing something very strange. Some people are wearing, they're wearing mamish slippers, which can very easily fall off. And Crocs have a status of we'll discuss some of this later on, but the when it comes to Shabbos, the point I want to make is, when it comes to coming on Shabbos, the issue is, if something can very easily fall off and you may be inclined to pick it up and carry it or to show someone, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So the question is, when it comes to a hearing aid, will the person be inclined to take off the hearing aid and show it and look, I got the latest model, let me show you what it looks like, let me tell you how much it costs? It's not going to happen. Just like it's not going to happen when no one's going to take out their glass eye and show someone, it's mutter. So we paskin that it's clear as day that a person is allowed to wear a hearing aid in the Rishus HaRab on Shabbos, and you are allowed to leave it on from before Shabbos, and you're allowed to have it operate on Shabbos.
Does everybody agree? No, not everyone agrees.
I know of a...
Everybody agree that if you have it back to the slipper.
The back to the slipper? That's for sure fine. With the back. If you're talking about a slipper that does not have a back, it is not in the Sefer Simchas HaMoadim by Simcha Hollander. He has an intensive discussion about wearing slippers on Yom HaKippurim. His maskana is it's mutter, because today it is not the derech at all to go barefoot, even with socks, in the Rishus Rabim. It's a milsla shchicha that someone's going to take off their slippers and carry it, even though we know that years ago, going back in the Tshuvas from the Gedolim, going back 300-400 years ago, they did discuss that going with slippers is osur, because you may come to take off the slippers and carry it in the street. That was a different society where people walked barefoot, or they walked with socks, and it was a real problem. But today the standards have changed. It's davish l'shchir, and he quotes Rav Chaim Knievsky and other gedolim, and it's mutter today kemal lechatchila to go to shul wearing a slipper that does not have a back, or like these tongues, things like that, you can, if you so choose, you can wear them on Yom Kippur. Okay, now as far as hearing aids are concerned, even though he says clearly here that it's mutter, I do know of a Rav, of a very, very distinguished Rav, that does not use his hearing aid on Shabbos. He's an elderly person. He's an elderly person. He's probably about 90, and during the week he has a hearing aid. And on Shabbos, I don't know, he chooses not to use it. That's why you go to take a Shabbos, then he doesn't hear you.
My father, he always went to daf together, the shul and shari ches, and the shleim zalman, and went over and thanked him that he could wear a hearing aid.
He says it's wildly permitted. Okay, but I don't know this Rav. I don't know why this Rav. He chooses not to wear a hearing. Maybe by now he changed. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Let's go to the next halacha. In fact, let's go back to the previous page. Let us turn back to the previous page to halacha pei ches. Kol she'enoi derech shir mutar lehashmia. Any sound that is not derech shir, song, mutar lehashmia, for example, it's as long as you're not using a musical instrument, mutar lehakish al hadeles, you're allowed to knock on the door. Okay, now you're not talking about the knocker. You're talking about going to a neighbor and knocking on the door with your hand. So how are you allowed to do that? You're making a sound, just like you're not allowed to clap, and you're not allowed to bang your hand against your hip. So why are you not allowed to? That's osur. A door banger is osur because that's a kli. That's miyuchid. The clap is miyuchid for making a sound. But what about banging your hand on the door? Why should that be permitted? Why should that be permitted? So he says that's mut. Why? Because that's not derech lashmir. It's not derech shir. You're not intending to make sounds. Kol she'ena derech shir mutar lashmir ulchein mutar lahakish al hadelas kdei sheyiftechu lo uchiyotze bezen, something similar. The yeshayimim, what?
What if you knock with a tune?
A tune, also. That might be problematic. In a chanami, that might be problematic. What about a code? What about a code? You knock with a code. You know who the person is.
Oh,
what? The Yesh Oimrim, some say they invented. I saw it on YouTube a while ago. Someone invented a genius invention. Invent a lock where you bang on the door in a certain code, and it's an electronic lock, and it opens. It's an electronic lock. You have a code, a Morse code. Let's say you bang 3-1, 1-2-3. You wait a second on Shabbos. No, Shabbos aser, but you can buy something in the store. 1-2-3, 1, and then the lock opens. The lock is always listening. It's an electrical device, a good hard, a good bolt. But the way you open it is not with the key, not with your fingerprint, not with your eye. You have to know the code. And the code is to bang in the proper way. It's an ingenious invention. Someone can make him be a millionaire. It's not such gross a chachma. You know computers. And you buy the right gizmos in the Radio Shack, you can put together such an invention, you can make a killing.
Out of business.
But a kli that's miyuchel lekach is aser. Kegon lahakish al delz betabas hakavuba, the clapper that is aser. Oy bepamona miyuchel, the bell that's miyuchel. Chin oisem kli shos shehein asuyim lekishkesh shos al yedei masha derechim bohem. A clock, a grandfather clock, where you can make it music whenever you want. Now, if you wind it off from before and you let it make the music on the hour, that's smooth. That will go to smoother. But if you have a technique where you can do something, you can push a button, you can pull a string, and you're going to cause it to give out a chime, that is awesome. Pay test. Let's finish up the halacha. Ha'meshame peretz oizroa mimnei ha'chayv. A person is guarding peretz because of animals. Lo yaspe kaf al ka'akaf. Lo yitapich kaf al yirech. You're not allowed to clap. In order, you want to scare away animals. You're not allowed to clap your hands or to bang your hand against your thigh. For yirakeid b'ragul. You're not allowed to bang your feet. Kedei lahavricham kederech shu'oise b'chol. That's uvda d'chol. What should you do? You should do it shaloi kederech. If you go and only clap with your hands one on the other, just so you can clap backwards. Or something unusual, that is mutter. They just run right through it.
But you can yell at them.
You do stubbing that ish like derech. Ein seichakim be'agoyzim yinala. Now he's going back to the laws of boine. Okay, he's going to a new halacha. You're not allowed to play with nuts. Children are not allowed to play with nuts on an earth floor because the process of playing with nuts, they're going to make the floor flat, level, and that is boine deraisa mashva gumas. Ein asechakim be'agoyzim chiyetzbom be'algavi akarkov. Afilu merutzav the karkov is merutzav. It is flat and it is tiled. It is zaser. Now, if you go tell women and children that you're not allowed to do this, what are they going to say? They're going to say, leave us alone, we don't care. We're going to do it anyway. And therefore, we have a principle of mutav sheyushegim v'al yehu mezidim. This is a very complicated halacha when you apply this principle. This principle is only applied when it comes to an isser midrabanan. It does not apply to an isser derais. This derais he mechuyev to tell people. So here, obviously, you must hold that this situation where it's merutzof, it's since the level, the ground is already flat, it's only in the takana derabanan, it's not in the deraisa, and therefore we apply the principle, the person is not going to listen, mutav sheyushegim v'al yehu mezidin. Tzadi aleph. Be'inyin kibul begadim yesh habe you're not allowed to fold garments on Shabbos. That is begeder libun. Part of the process of cleaning clothing is to fold them on their original folds. It's a very big problem taking off your pants on Shabbos. When you take off your pants Friday night or during the day, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to hold them, to fold them on the fold. You have to put it down and take it from the top side. Yeah. From the top, and just gently wrap it over a chair. Over, and if it comes out that it comes on the fold, good for you. But you're not allowed to go and put your hands along the fold, along the crease, along the to make them perfect. What? Not make order. What? It's libun. It's a form of libun.
You can't do it. It depends.
It's not so clear. If you don't do it the right way, we all know that if you don't do it the right way, when you come back later on, it's all creased. Yeah. You just throw it on the floor. They're not going to look the way they want. So you obviously there is something to holding the crease. So you're not allowed to perfectly do it from the bottom up. You have to do it in an indirect way without touching the crease, just to fold it neatly over, have it fall over a chair or a hard surface. Okay, so folding the talus is also a very big problem. So folding the talus, so the minig is not to fold it on the original folds, or to fold it, not to be precise. There are people that don't fold the talus at all on Shabbos. Slops. Take off the talus,
that's me. And
they just leave it. They shove it in the bear, or they shove it on the bima. So some people don't like to do that. It's too slobbish. So what do you do? You have two choices. Either you fold it not on the folds, on the crease. You fold it a different way. Or if you want to fold it on the crease, you do it super fast, where you're not medaktik that it should come out perfectly on the fold. On the crease, you just do it. And after Shabbos, if you can do it after Shabbos, not everyone does it after Shabbos. Everyone's doing it during the Hinoya. During the Hinoya, they're already taking out the talus and refolding the talus.
What about Yom Tov?
Same thing, same prohibition. There's no difference. The same exact thing, same prohibition.
After Shabbos, you can fold your closes four or five times. That's not on the crease. That's something else.
I'm not sure.
And it goes on. You can make your bed on Shabbos.
You can make your bed. That's not called folding. Making your bed is paris the sudar on the mita. There's no folding. There's no folding on the crease. It's just spreading the bed that it should look nice. The bread.
The first part is you can fold your clothes four or five times.
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe it means they're not on the crease. Yeah. Here he refers to on the crease. That's what it's over here. He doesn't even want to get involved. Being kibul begodim yesh habi chilukidinim ve'ein lekapul shom beged. It's a form of libun. Libun is cleansing clothing. It's a tolada of libun. Now it talks about if there's a fire. Let's say part of a garment is on fire. You're not allowed to extinguish a fire on Shabbos. Of course, it's pesukuch nefesh. There's nothing to talk about. You can extinguish the fire and call the police, call the fire department, whatever you want. But here we're dealing with a situation where there is no pesukuch nefesh and one end of the garment is on fire. You are allowed to pour water at the other end. You're not allowed to pour water on the fire itself, but you can pour water on the end of the garment, which means when the fire will spread to that part of the garment, it will automatically go out because it's not connected with water. Motor lishpech alav shar mashkim shalom b'mokam eish kidei kishyagia l'mokam amashkim yichabe, it will go out. Avamayim also lishpech alav, you're not allowed to pour water. This principle applies in many other applications. The most common application of this is setting a clock on Shabbos. If you have a Shabbos clock and the lights are now currently off, so you are allowed to push. If you have one of those Shabbos clock which has those little pins, so you are allowed to push all the pins in that it will stay off for longer. If it's set to turn on, let's say at 1 o'clock, right now it's off, and it's set to go on at 1 o'clock, you can push the pin for one o'clock, for 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. It will not go on until 5 o'clock. But I'm
for 12 o'clock.
No, to make it earlier, you're not allowed. It's only l'chatchila. You're not allowed to go and set the pins that it should change earlier than normally would have. You're allowed to change the pins to maintain the status quo. If the light is on, you can change the pins that it can remain on for a longer period of time. If the light is off, you can change the pins so you can let it stay off for a longer period of time. But you're not allowed to change the pins to change the status quo from off to on to off. That principle very, very much similar to the principle over here, where I'm doing my over here. You have a garment that's on fire. I'm going to pour water. I'm not pouring water on the fire itself. I'm pouring water on a different part of the garment. But that just means that when the fire gets to that part of the garment, it's going to be something different is going to happen that otherwise would not have happened. That's mutter, because the place where I'm making the change at this moment in time is not having a direct effect on the fire. So in other areas of halacha where you're doing something at this moment in time, you're not causing an effect now, but what you're doing will have an effect later on, although it otherwise would not have had this effect. That is mutter. If air conditioning, you can change the status quo. You can change as long as you're not causing any lights to go on. You're not causing all the gadgets are all electrical. But if you have some of the old gadgets, the old devices, which are either pins or clips, or you can turn something, all of those type of things are mutter as long as you're not changing, you're maintaining the status quo.
So if you want it to stay on longer, you guess it's staying longer.
Yes.
You can play with the pins
that it should stay on longer, right? Because I'm not doing anything. Right now it's on. And I'm not causing any change at this moment. It's just having a delayed effect later on that's going to maintain the status quo.
So if it's on, if the air conditioner is on.
Yes, you're allowed to change the pins that it can remain on.
While it's still on.
To continue to stay for a longer period of time.
And if it's in an off position,
you're allowed to
move them ahead.
That it should stay off position. Correct. That is an extension to some degree of the principle that says here with regard to the fire on the garment. Halacha tzadi gimel ein matzinas amita ben Shabbos and Shabbos l'motzoi Shabbos. This is a law of hachana. You're not allowed to do something on Shabbos to prepare for Mitzvah Shabbos. Af al pi sheyesh shuhus b'yom, even though there's plenty of time during the day, shiyoch lishon alav b'Shabbos. Even though that if I want, I can sleep on the bed. I can sleep on the bed on Shabbos itself. Mikol malkom kevon shein died to lishon alav. Since your kavon is not to go to sleep now out of the Mitzvah Shabbos. Harei hu mechin mi Shabbos l'chol v'yos. The general halach. You're not allowed to do anything now on Shabbos for Mitzvah Shabbos or from one day Yom Tov to another day Yom Tov if you have absolutely no benefit from what you're doing now until later on. In the article Kitz Shachnoch, he presents what must have been a very common shayla. Parents want to dress their children in pajamas. It's Shabbos afternoon and the kids are not going to go to sleep until Shabbos is over, and they want to dress them in pajamas.
They're going to be wearing the pajamas.
So
what's the problem?
So Rav Moshe says it depends what your kavana is.
It depends. They're going to be sitting for 2 hours with pajamas on.
So the question: why are you putting them in pajamas now? So Rav Moshe says, if The only reason why you're putting them in pajamas, like the clothing that they're wearing now, they don't give you the clothing anyway is dirty. Could not care less about the clothing. The status of the clothing that they're wearing right now, it's already as ruined as it can be. Or maybe they're wearing play clothing, they're wearing weekday clothing. And the only reason why you're doing this for your personal convenience, because after your husband comes home, you're going to make havdalah with the children, and then you're going to put them to sleep. So you want them to be ready. You want them to be in their pajamas ready. You want to save time. You have anyway nothing to do right now. Rav Moshe says it's awesome. But if, as you said, you don't want them to ruin the clothing, and you want them to play, that's what they anyway do. You go put them in pajamas, they play for a few hours in their pajamas, and then they go to sleep. So that's routine. It's routine. So that's not called hachana for Mitzvah Shabbos, and it is mutter. That is the only thing he mentions over here in the article. Now let's go back to what we said before. Let's go back and finish up some of the laws of singing and music on Shabbos. A few more short things to finish up. Back to halacha. Back to the previous page, halacha tes. Okay, let's just do a little bit more. Almost. Lashmiya kol b'chli amyuchot miyuchot. You're not allowed to bang a clapper on Shabbos. A door clapper is also. Ve'in l'dabar ayideh telephone b'Shabbos. Okay, discuss another matter of technology. Are you allowed to talk on the telephone on Shabbos? The Yom Tov. What? So obviously he's dealing with the telephone in ancient times. Not so ancient. What? No, telephone.
A regular telephone.
Obviously, it's not dealing with our telephones. All our telephones today have lights, right? They have lights and they have tones. I guess he's talking about a telephone, you know, the rotary telephones. No lights. Talking about a telephone which you can travel, the voice travels over the line very far. He holds that it's awesome. Now why? So he, I know for anyone that opened up their mouth to criticize this ruling. Kli kein telephone. What is he first? What is the Shavuos Yaakov talking about? He talks about talking many miles over a kli. What is he talking about over here? So he says, or everyone says, Mashuk tzas the devar of nemru al kli kein telephone v'dayto noite lahatir. So the fact that he says, I never heard someone point the people lefachvik v'didin zeh, which means to say that the Shavuos Yaakov seems to say, I don't understand why it's aser. In my understanding, it should be mutter. So Rabbi Bruin says he's doing two things. Number one, we're talking about a telephone. Number two, the Shavuos Yaakov seems to say, I disagree, that a telephone, technically there is nothing wrong on talking on a telephone. All the new technology, new inventions. He shows that nothing really is new. Everything new really can find the Makor in the Talmud. And in the Paiskim, he also explains, he discussed the Shavuos Yaakov. It was very old, 200 years ago. Had telephones then, I don't have telephones, whatever it is, but he talks about the Shavuos Yaakov, so elu hu rak kli elektriki, shukim kayim mimos olam, it's a kli elektriki, shuhu kayim mimos olam, the concept of electricity existed ancient times, I guess lightning. Omnam, okay, I'm not sure what he means of it. Omnam, b'shud, ayin b'shud beis Yitzchak, deloy sviru lei l'medrash kein divrei Shavuos Yaakov ala telephone shalanu. You can't compare his discussion to our modern telephones. Sheyesh bo koich elektriki because of the tshuva hanal b'Shavuos Yaakov shenichleva oid b'shnois tof pei beis. Okay, so tof pei beis is more than 300 years ago. Okay, more than 300 years ago. Okay, there's, what? A little bit less. A little bit less, 300 years ago. 290 years ago. Oz lo yadu oy mechunas a telephone. Why, how can you possibly say that Shavuos Yaakov was talking about the precursor to a telephone? They didn't have such a thing then.
He said it was
Osir,
right?
No, he said, Shavuos Yaakov says that people hold that it's Osir, but I don't understand. Which, according to what it would appear, saying is, I don't know, he seems to be saying that I'm not happy with the chumrah. if it was up to me, I would express my criticism of the psak that it should be mutter. That's what he seems to be saying. I'm not 100% clear. Let's see what he says for it. Oz lo yadu oid mechunas telephone. Shnischadish bezmanenu. Vade kli gzunta kli acher hoyu lefnei hagoyin hanal. The Shavuos Yaakov was talking about some other device. Shlohoyu bo chadash elu. Aval the telephone day because the telephone didn't exist then. The way we know it. Aval the telephone.
How can that be a precedent?
For what we're discussing, al the telephone sheish lachosh lehis oirus koyach hachashmol electricity. What does that mean?
Connections,
okay. Bevadai the connections. Bevadai yesh lezor b'shab b'shem nafshu yochemiyem mibizeh. Kimulvad ma'ashem muchach lahakos bepamoin. So as you have to dial, you have to press buttons. Mikoydim sheyirtze l'dab l'dab. You got to press buttons. You got to dial the rotary. Zeh also mishum hashmiya kol. Okay, I guess talking about pressing the buttons, which make the tones, the more modern telephones. They still have rotary? Rotary still exists? Does it still work, the rotary sound?
Yeah.
Okay. By closing, you're causing new koyach. I don't know. Okay, you're causing a new koyach. Kemo bis... what's that word over there? Kisei Ashroy. I'm not sure whether for some halacha concept. Damrina the also mashmiya and mishum moilid reicha v'hu adin the also last lecture this connection over here b'Shabbos v'yav ha'makeh ha'pamon ayidei noch v'gam kenos. So you have a solution. I'll let the guy dial. The guy will dial and I'll do the talking. Also l'daber kevon sh'ein kol ha'daber nishma rak ayidei ha. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. What does that mean?
Opening the phone doesn't work only if you first open it,
yeah.
Which makes
yesterday all the
operators.
And he does this. Okay, al yidei zeakol nishma. How do you know how to read those words? How do you know how to read those words? Al yidei kol nishma.
Changes in electricity. The membrane.
Gam kein mash mekol bemachuna ad kan l'shonevi. Ayin. The ayin b'shem nechas Allah zar shekosav gam kein diosel dabe b'shabes yonde v'alidei telephone kemash shekosav abes yitzog mitam isu moilet. V'yashmas kol v'alidei adi b'ayin sham. V'usay sa'atzim mash shekosav v'nu chas Allah zar. Okay, he holds that it's osur. V'ayin b'shut mar shag b'kinyin kol miradio shekosav v'loy nigin l'gol shu chazal hashmas kol ilo kol habosh ashloy adi apeh. Going in mat pichim be in mat speaking, you're not allowed to go and clap your hands. You're not allowed to go clap your hands against your body. Vidamya lekini v'toyif. It's similar to a harp and to a drum. Avul kol habayidei. We had this before yesterday, but a sound, an electrical sound that's a replica of your voice is mutter. That's not mashmiya kol. Avul kol habayidei apeh. Afilu hu oyavderech kli loy gozer chazal ayin sham b'devav yesh lo modan heter im hanochri makim pamoin. And therefore, he holds that it's mutter. If the guy establishes the connection, you're not doing anything wrong by talking to the other party on the phone. The ayim sefer tzlach hachodosh hevi sham tshuvus harav agoyim mereinu harav Nosson Levin mereisha. Harav Nosson Levin from Reisha. Who is Rav Nosson Levin from Reisha? He was the father of the Rav Aaron Levin from Reisha. Who was Rav Nosson Levin? Rav Nosson Levin was the son-in-law of the Beis Yitzchak. You notice he quotes the Beis Yitzchak very often. The Beis Yitzchak had a daughter married to Rav Nosson Levin. Rav Nosson Levin came. Rav Nosson Levin was who came to Reisha. He became the Rav. They didn't warn him. There were a lot of Hasidim in Reisha that did not want to accept Rav Nosson Levin as the Rav of Reisha. You know why? You know what the number one complaint was? You're not going to believe this. The number one complaint? That Rav Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkis, the Beis Yitzchak, his daughter, the wife of the Rav Nosson Levin, is too modern. She wears stylish sheitlach. Her sheitels are too stylish, so they felt she was not the right Revitzin for Aisha.
Any relationship to you?
he's my great great grandfather, and then he was the Rav, and then he was Nifter, and then his son was not Rav. Aaron Levine was not the Rav in Raisha. He was the Rav in, I already forgot. I'm embarrassed that I forgot.
The Laos took it over?
No, there was no Rav for a Tkuf. There was no Rav, and then they sent a delegation after a period of time. The people from Raisha, they sent a delegation to Rav Aaron Levine to ask him to come and be the Rav, to take over his father's position in Raisha. During that Kufa, when there was no Rav, it was Chil Shabbos. There was Isha Yosha Ben of Yaseh, and they built what was called the Beis Am. There was like a community center, a cultural community center. It was built on Shabbos. Yes. There was a lot going on then. And Rav Nosson Levine was fighting with them. Not that to be might, the Chil Shabbos. When he died, when the cat's away, the mice will play. There was a lot of Chil Shabbos, there was a lot of Hefkeris, until Rav Aaron Levine, he came back, and he didn't ask to be the Rav. They sent a delegation to ask him to become the Rav. He accepted, and then he was a very strong leader in Raisha. He was a very strong leader. Okay, no, we're out of time, so we'll stop over here. What time is it now? Alright, we'll stop over here. We'll do this part from Nosson Levine tomorrow.